We have quite a few questions from you, so I'd like to get started so we don't keep you here after 12 o'clock. We have probably 25 questions, and I'm going to start here. Question number one on page 53 recommends Times New Roman 12 point. Is font size optional or is 12 point required? We recommend 12 point. We have a lot of proposals to read, so we'd like to be able to read it. If it's too small, then it's very difficult. So 12 is our recommended point. Number two, please provide examples of desirable and or acceptable supportive services, typically in the safety net category. I think they are listed in the RFP, what some of the examples are. If they're not listed here, we would like you to explain to us in your proposal why the need for that support or the safety net service is. Would childcare be an appropriate supportive service? Yes. Question three, assuming there are more applications than funds available, will SETA fully fund each successful applicant or award reduced funding in order to fund more applicants? It really depends on the amount of funding that you requested and your ranking. Many times the top ranking have gotten fully funded, and many times they have not. So it really depends. It's very hard to say. Question four, can an agency apply for funds from safety net funds and ERA funds for the same project? Yes, but they would have to be in separate proposals. And why don't you do a few?
I would like to make one quick announcement. We've had a couple of requests for an audio recording, of which we do have some sections of today's session. We have not determined whether that will be possible at this time, but if you have a reason for that request and would like to make that request, that can be submitted to me in email form. Again, my name is Victor Bonanno, and it's at victor@delpaso.seta.net. I'll start off with the first question. This is regarding response number five. How will SETA handle a situation where staffing is changed within an organization, particularly if the staff position is one that is directly related to the delivery of proposed service or program under the SETA funding? And I guess it depends on whether the position, let's say it's being eliminated, or whether just the hours are being changed. Anytime, once you've contracted with us, that you feel that there are changes in your program that would be beneficial to the clients or to deal with an emergency situation, then the process would be to make a request in writing for whatever changes you would feel are necessary, and then those are reviewed, and those should be put to the attention of Cindy Sherwood Green, and she will make all those determinations. On page 54, response to goals, program goals, services, activities, and outcomes. And are there a minimum amount of goals, or can it be just one goal with multiple services? Yes, if that is your delivery strategy and that goal is very encompassing, then certainly you can show that one goal with all of the different categories on individual rows in that logic model. Are maps available of the targeted neighborhoods? The ones we have listed there, we can probably find those for you. Again, if you'll email me, victor@delpaso.seta.net, we'll find some for you and see that they get back to you. In terms of safety net, what would you consider a limited time basis? And in parentheses, would transitional housing be considered? I would suggest that no. Typically, when you have somebody in transitional housing, they're being case managed. And so the provision of transitional housing itself would probably not be a one-time emergency move. Something like just shelter, emergency shelter, might be considered that. But that doesn't mean that you couldn't apply for safety net services for your clients housed in transitional housing. For response four, does it negatively impact our score if we have not pursued or secured other funding? If you look at the nature of CSBG funding, we want to fill gaps in available services here in our county. And so we would hope that all of our agencies are seeking multiple funding sources to fund their programs. If this is a brand new program, and we have, and you've never done it before, just a standalone brand new venture here, and you have never pursued any other funding except for SETA funding, that does have the possibility of negatively impacting your score on this particular response. For family self-sufficiency, do you have to include all of the target groups? No. The target groups that you plan on outreaching to and are best suited to serve are the only target groups that you need to note on there. And again, if you are providing like safety net services to the entire county, then in that case, well, yes, it would include all of the target groups. Do you recommend applying across categories if your agency does activities across all categories? As an agency, we'd prefer to submit for family self-sufficiency, but could justify pulling funding from any of the three. We would recommend that if you wanted to pull from all three funding categories, that you are welcome to turn in three funding proposals, three separate proposals. It's hard for me to recommend whether to do one or three without seeing what they look like. Typically, I would suggest applying for those areas that you're in the best position to operate and provide services in, and that'll give you your best chance.
Can I just say something? Please. If you are applying for funds in three categories for the same program, please reference each of the other proposals in each proposal. For instance, if you apply for safety net, reference your other proposals in ERA and family self-sufficiency, because we will have separate reading teams reading each of the service categories. So they need to know what else is out there that relates to that program. It would be very helpful.
Thank you. Next question. For the simplified logic model, can we use smaller fonts and smaller margins? Actually, no, please. Some of your columns, little boxes may get a little tall, but please be as concise as you can in there, and that would be appreciated. But if we could keep the same fonts and margins, that would be very helpful. Okay. Are there any safety net services not allowed, such as rental deposits? And at this time, we are not allowing rental deposits. And then it goes on to say, what is rehousing assistance? And rehousing assistance, if you have somebody who you're helping get into another home, can include paying the first month's rent, those types of things and costs associated with getting them into another home. Second question on here, Within the chart, are we only listing funded items? Within the chart, for the services that you're providing, I assume you're meaning that some of the services would be funded by SETA and some would might be funded by another program. I hope that's the right assumption. But we would really like to know what types of services those families are receiving, and so that we can look at it as a package and make a determination that, gosh, some of these services seem to be duplicated here in this list or not, or it really helps us take a peek inside what your service delivery strategy is so that we can determine whether that seems like an overall sound strategy. So in answer, yes, please list all of the services that you have intended for those clients in the program that you are proposing.
Can SETA post or provide copies of past winning proposals? We cannot post them, but you are welcome to call me at 263-3838. I've left some more business cards over there. I can arrange for you to come in and look at past successful family self-sufficiency and safety net proposals. We obviously don't have any Recovery Act proposals that have been funded in the past because that's new. You can look at them, take notes. You cannot make copies, but I'll be happy to share what we have with you by calling me.
Okay, I have a few fiscal-related questions. Number one, what exactly is meant by accept fiscal liability for funds awarded? And what we're talking about there is in the event that your agency should incur any disallowed costs or in the event that SETA disallows any costs that you claim under your contract, your agency would be required to repay that liability from non-federal funds. So that's what we're talking about, the ability of your agency to repay disallowed costs from non-federal funding sources. The next question is, can you clarify the fringe benefits category? Does it include workers' comp, payroll taxes, benefits? Short answer, yes. It's basically all fringe benefits, so the items that were listed here, certainly, and there might be other ones that are included as well. But it's the total rate, the total fringe benefits rate for your organization. And the follow-up to this is the rate the average percentage of salary this total comprises? I would say it this way. It's the total fringe dollars divided by the total wage dollars. That'll give you your fringe benefits rate. Next question is, if your agency has not conducted an audit, are they still eligible? I would say maybe, and probably. I would refer you to Section 3, the one, the forms that Patty brought to your attention. They're attachments 7 and 8, and they are designed for, there are. If you haven't actually had an audit conducted, there are other ways to document that, you're a good financial risk, put it that way. Next question is there a limit on the fringe benefits percentage? The answer is no, but it is evaluated as part of the evaluation process. So if you're coming in with 100% fringe benefits rate, probably the reading team or evaluation team will think that's excessive. Next question is on equipment costs. What should be included in these costs? Examples. And this is other equipment costs. It's just minor clarification. But the examples are listed there in the form itself, I think, pretty well. Computers, the cost for photocopiers, basically personal property items, things that can kind of get up and walk away, so to speak. And the follow-up is, what if new equipment costs come up in 2010 that we did not account for? And I would answer that with, you may need to request either a budget or a contract modification. If that happens, there's no guarantee that that request would be approved. It would be reviewed and looked at, and if it was determined that it was what you were proposing to do was actually consistent with SETA's goals and your program's goals and the contract, then that might be approved, and you could reallocate dollars from one budget line item to another budget line item. The next question is, what would be examples of what is included in other costs? I think a simple example would be different types of insurance coverages that your organization might have but that are not listed, like directors and officers insurance or student accident insurance or something like that. But basically anything that you don't see a line item for there that's kind of a miscellaneous other type of item. That's why we have a couple extra lines. And the last question I have here is, we are in need of translation services for several clients in the underserved community. Can we use stipends to pay for translation services? And if so, how can they be identified in the budget? Kind of a tough question. Let me answer it this way, and then whoever asked this, if you have follow-up questions, you can ask. I would say you can pay for the cost of translation services. That is an allowable cost of translating or interpreting for your clients. However, SETA would discourage the use of stipends. I would suggest adding the cost of translation services to your support services budget. I would also add that SETA has a number of contracts with different community-based organizations, and many of those organizations and many of the organizations represented in this room have access to interpreting and translation assistance at low cost. And I mean, when I say interpreting or translation, done by qualified individuals. And I think that those qualified individuals are not paid on a stipend basis. They're paid based on the actual cost of performing those services. I think I would be very cautious about using stipends in doing translation. I'm not going to tell you it's not allowable. I would definitely caution you against doing something like that. Or before you did it, make it real clear what it is you're proposing with SETA staff here and get their blessing on it.
This question is basically to please verify that a family includes one person, and that is correct. An individual that is a single person, no family members, does count as a family of one.
Thank you. A few more. What is the maximum amount of funds that an application that an agency can apply for under each program? I just want to refer you to page 6 of the RFP. Those are the limits per service category. That would be your maximum. We have always been able to fund agencies that meet all of the Community Action Board's priorities. So funding one applicant for the maximum amount is probably not very likely. But the average funding amount right now is probably about $40,000 to $50,000. That's just the average. So it can go higher, it can go lower. Again, we have less money in the formula CSBG than we had last year. We have $100,000 less. And what is the maximum number of pages allowable in this proposal? We do not have a maximum, but we do have a maximum per response, and that's one page per response. Each, about six responses in the proposal, plus forms, cover page, so forth.
And the two exhibits, one exhibit being the flowchart of the organization, the flowchart of the staff who are going to be working on the program, and the other is the corporate resolution giving the people on the cover page the authority to submit the proposal.
Thank you. Does CSBG Recovery Act income guidelines only apply for CSBG era funded programs? For the first 9 months, the income guidelines will be 200% for both CSBG formula and era. After September 30th through December 31st, it will go back to 100% unless we hear from the state that it's changed. I'm thinking we will. Will there be a predetermined percentage of youth versus adults eligible for ERA services? There is not. Can you estimate how many proposals will be accepted for each category? I cannot. I expect more than we've had in the past because there are so many in the room today, but I really can't estimate the number. And the dollar amount for proposals awarded, I've already answered that. And what is the age range for youth? Again, we don't have a minimum or a maximum. If your program is geared towards youth, we would want you to justify that each of the clients would fit the program criteria, the eligibility criteria, if it is a youth program. And that's it. Are there any more questions before we end this? And you can't ask any more programmatic questions? Yes?
For the 200% of a federal poverty guideline for the period of time that it impacts that, do we just then assume that we calculate doubling the income for those categories of family size, or are you going to actually print some matrices out to that effect?
We will. We have it already printed.
Thank you.
And you will be given that. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.